ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यैश्वरम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरक्षे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो वेलकम। सो लास्ट टाइम फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम वी वर डिस्कसिंग कैंटो टू चैप्टर थ्री वेयर सुखदेव गोस्वामी was describing the process of Karmakanda, and then from Karmakanda again he brought to the conclusion that the devotional service unto the Supreme Lord is the most sublime, the topmost process for self-realization to get the ultimate benefit of human form of life. And we discussed that Sukadeva Goswami, he mentions about the Ashtanga Yoga process, Karmakanda process, just to include everybody into the fold of pure devotional service, to attract everybody to that process of bhakti yoga. So after describing, concluding the devotional service is the topmost process, bhakti yoga is the topmost process. Now Sukadeva Goswami is going to continue, and Parikshit Maharaj is actually going to ask further questions. So we'll hear in the fourth chapter of second canto the further questions of Parikshit Maharaj, what kind of questions he asked and how Sukadeva Goswami responded to those questions. And in between there is back and forth, we see some dialogues happening between the sages of Naimisharanya, the Shaunakadi Rishi, with Suta Goswami. The camera goes back to Naimisharanya where the sages are asking questions to Suta Goswami. Please continue describing to us, what did Parikshit Maharaj ask further? And how did Shukdev Goswami answer those questions? So there is, again and again, those in-between couple of verses come describing those discussions. So here also, the fourth chapter, it again starts with Suta Goswami talking to the sages of Naimisharanya. Because the sages are asking, when one particular topic has been finished, they keep asking Suta Goswami, please describe us further. What did Parikshit Maharaj ask after this? He must have inquired more from Shukdev Goswami. Please continue speaking. And Suta Goswami and Shukdev Goswami, they are actually giving us what was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj when he is asking a question and when he is hearing from Shukdev Goswami. And what is the mood of Shukdev Goswami when he is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj? Because when we are just hearing the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami, even though we are hearing that dialogue, but we may not understand the mood, the bhav of Parikshit Maharaj. Because words themselves sometimes cannot express the feeling. So for us to understand the feeling, the mood of Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, it is very important to read and understand these verses, which are discussion between Shukdev Goswami, Suta Goswami and Shaunakadi Rishi. Because as I said, the words always do not communicate the emotions, the mood, the bhav. For example, if somebody asks, did you eat food? Khana khaya kya? So just hearing those words, one could understand it as a mood of concern. Somebody is out of concern asking you this question, did you eat food? But depending on how the other person is asking question, the tone, not just the words, but the tone with which these words are spoken, the mood with which these words are spoken can convey a different meaning. Saying the same thing in a different tone. Khana khaya na? So asking somebody, khana khaya na? Nothing else said further that, but it could be taken as the words of sarcasm. So, for example, somebody is saying, khana khaya na? You ate food, right? So why you are not able to chant properly? Why you are not able to participate in kirtan? Why you are not able to do some service? Even though person did not say all those things, but based on the mood with which those words are spoken, it can convey a different meaning. So words are very powerful and it can convey different sort of meaning. So that's why just hearing the dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami, we may not be able to hear the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. How faithfully or how attentively Shukdev Goswami is hearing and with what mood, with full mood of surrender, Shukdev Goswami is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why these verses, in between the couple of verses come, Suta Goswami and Shaunakadi Rishi having that conversation. And they are bringing out, they are conveying to us the mood of these two persons, the audience and the speaker. So here, this verse, this chapter also start with Shukdev Goswami speaking to Shaunakadi Rishi. And here he is describing what was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj when he is hearing Bhagavatam. Suta uvacha vayaskare iti vachasa tattva nishchayam atmanah updharyam mati krishne autreyah satim vedhat. So Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, autreyah, after hearing the speeches of Shukdev Goswami, which were about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. Satim vyadhat, the word used is satim. The sati word is used for generally women who are chaste women, who are very faithful towards their husband. Right? So this word is used, sati. So here Suta Goswami is describing Parikshit Maharaj very faithfully, like a chaste wife, he fully concentrated his attention, his whole mind and absorption onto the Supreme Lord. And this is how, with full absorption, Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Shukadev Goswami. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, to become a great devotee of the Lord, there are two things which are very much essential. And what are these two things? First is having taken birth in a family of devotees. And after taking birth in a devoted family, in a Brahminical family, having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. And by the grace of Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj had both opportunities. He was born in a great Vaishnava family, great family of devotees. The Pandavas were all naturally the great devotees of the Lord. So he took birth in a great family, and on top of that, he had the opportunity to accept a bona fide spiritual master. He had the opportunity to sit down in front of Shukadev Goswami and hear from him attentively. So in our case also, somebody, even though from our birth, we may not be having that opportunity where this devotional seed was given to us from birth. But at whatever point of time, we got that benefit. We came in touch with some devotees. We got that seed of bhakti. From that point, at least, one should start making progress. Take to this process seriously. And the second aspect is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. To accept somebody as the mentor, as the guide, who can guide us to make progress in bhakti. So Shukadev Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj had both these opportunities. And here again, as I mentioned, Sutta Goswami is describing to us mood of Parikshit Maharaj. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj is just sitting in front of Shukadev Goswami and thinking, okay, anyways, I need to pass my time for next 7 days. So after 7 days, I'm going to die anyway, so I need to spend time. So you can continue speaking. So he is not just casually listening, waiting for the 7 days to go by somehow. He is fully concentrated in the hearing process. And we should get that great lesson from Parikshit Maharaj, fully absorbing our concentration rather than thinking of all 100 different topics, 100 different things. So after describing the mood of Parikshit Maharaj, the sages have asked Shuta Goswami, please describe to us further. What did Parikshit Maharaj inquire further? There must have been further talks between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. And we would like to hear all those discussions between these two great personalities. So Shukadev Goswami, Sutta Goswami further described, Atmajaya Suta Agara Pashudrabinaha Bandhushu Rajya Chavikali Nityam Virudham Mamataham Jaho. Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up the deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals, his, like the horses and elephants, his treasury, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. So Atma refers to body, it refers to mind, it refers to soul. The word Atma can be used in multiple contexts. So here Atma is Atam. Atam is referring to the personal body. So Parikshit Maharaj gave up affection towards his own body. Jaya, wife, Suta, sons, Agara, Pashu, Dravina, Bandushu. So all the animals, all the friends and relatives, Rajya Chavikale Nityam, and his kingdom, undisputed kingdom. And he concentrated his attraction, his attention at the feet of Lord Krishna. One very important point to understand from here, this verse, because some people may misunderstand this mood which is displayed here. The verse says that he gave up the affection towards all these various things. So one may think that, okay, maybe Parikshit Maharaj was earlier attached to all those things, and now, after a little bit hearing from Shukadev Goswami, he gave up that attraction. But that is not the right understanding. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj, from his childhood, He is a great devotee of the Lord. He has full attraction at the feet of Lord. As soon as he came out the womb of his mother, he has been searching for the Supreme Lord. He is kind of testing everybody. Who is that person who entered into the womb of my mother to protect me? So he is examining everybody. Pariksha. That's from here his name came as Parikshit, who is examining everybody. So he was always attracted to the Supreme Lord. So it's not that now he gave up the attraction to all these bodily things, attachments, material things. So when we hear that, one should understand Parikshit Maharaj was always unattached to those things. But so internally he was always attached to the Supreme Lord, and internally he did not have any attachment. But externally, to rule over his kingdom, to set an example for all the citizens, he was taking care of all these things. So externally, it may be seen that he is utilizing all those things. He is taking care of all those various paraphernalia, but internally, he is not attached. Now, at this particular time, when he has gave up, renounced his kingdom and everything, externally also, he gave up those affections. Because one more point to understand from here is, otherwise, when Shukdev Goswami is now describing, right, we heard in the previous chapter, when Shukdev Goswami is describing that what is the need of the clothes, one can wear the tree barks, what is the need of nice beds, one can just use his arm as a pillow and lay down on the ground, what is the use of nice utensils, one can just use his hands as utensil. There is enough fruits and roots available in the forest to quench your hunger and thirst. What is the need of a house? One can reside in the caves. So when Shukdev Goswami is describing all those things, Parikshit Maharaj is not thinking, oh yeah, I was used to utilize all those luxuries of my palace. Now you are asking to give up all those things. Something, leave something for me. Kuch toh chodo. At least let me utilize some clothes. You are asking, give up the cloth also, what is the use of clothes? So Parikshit Maharaj did not say anything when Parikshit Maharaj or Shukdev Goswami is describing anything, all these things. It's not that he all of a sudden gave up the attachment. He was already, internally he was always renounced. Internally he was always unattached to all those things. Otherwise, can we apply it to ourselves? If we just consider that scenario, we go to some satsang program and we hear about these descriptions that one should not be attached to the family, to the wife, to the sons, to the house, to the cars and to all these various things. After hearing that, are we able to give up immediately? Are we able to come to that state of renunciation, vairagya, that okay, I should not be attached to these things, should not utilize these things for my personal self, rather utilize all those things in service of Krishna. So we are not able to give up all those things immediately. Here Parikshit Maharaj, he did not retaliate to all these statements of Shukdev Goswami because he was already renounced. It's not that he now gave up those things. So the mood of Parikshit Maharaj, he is a great devotee of the Lord from his childhood. And Shukdev Goswami, he is a great devotee of the Lord. With the arrangement of Lord, he happened to hear Bhagavatam from his father. So both are great devotees of the Lord. One has taken the role of speaker, another has taken the role of an audience. So that this whole Bhagavatam, this great narrations about the glorification of Supreme Lord could come out for the benefit of the whole population. And further, Sutta Goswami is further describing Krishnanu Bhava Shravane Shraddha Dhano Mahamana Sansam Vigyaya Sanyasya Karma Trevikargam Chayata Vasudeva Bhagavati Atma Bhavam Dhadhagata Krishnanu Bhava Shravane. So the great soul Parikshit Maharaj, who was constantly wrapped in thought of Lord Krishna, knowing well that his depth is getting closer and closer, knowing well of his imminent death, he renounced all sort of fruitive activities, namely the acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in the natural love of Lord Krishna. Atma bhava dhram gataha. With full determination, he engaged in the process of bhakti yoga. Here again, one more thing is described, that he renounced everything. What did he renounce? Karma trevargikam, the activities in of three varga. What is this three varga described here? There are four things mentioned, right? Earth, dharma, earth, kam, moksha. So out of these four, it is saying he renounced three of those. What is that? Dharma, earth, kama. He gave up the acts of religion, karma kanda activities. He gave up the economic development, the desire for sense enjoyment. So he gave up this dharma, earth, kama. So again, question comes. Is it that Parikshit Maharaj now gave up these activities? But earlier he was engaged in those activities. Earlier he was engaged in karma kanda. And earlier he was engaged in economic development, artha. Earlier he was engaged in sense enjoyment. So again, one should understand, Parikshit Maharaj externally was engaged in some sort of religious activities like performing some yajnas. So as Kshatriya kings, they perform various sort of yajnas. And we hear about the description of many other great kings also. In the pages of Bhagavatam, we hear about many such kings like Prithu Maharaj, Rishabhadev, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj. They engaged in some sort of religious activities which may appear to be karmakandic activities, performing some sort of elaborate yajnas. Now, a great devotee of the Lord, he is free from any desire for karmakandic activities, for sense enjoyment. Then why such great devotees, they will engage in some sort of fruitive activities as karmakandi activities? Because even though they themselves are at a higher platform, they are eligible for this process of bhakti yoga, not have to take to this lower process of karmakandis, but throughout their kingdoms, all the various citizens, they are at different levels. They are not at a platform where they can give up all those religious karmakandic activities. So to keep them on the right track, because their eligibility is right now to engage in maybe the fruitive karmakandic activities. Not everybody is able to give up completely all those karmakandi activities and take to the topmost process of bhakti yoga. So to set an example for all the citizens in the kingdom, such great kings who were the great devotees of the Lord still acted in that way. Again, just to set an example for all their citizens, to keep all the citizens on the right track, to slowly, slowly progress in spiritual life. So again, we should not think it that, okay, Parikshit Maharaj was earlier attached to those things, now he gave up. So earlier, externally he was performing, internally he was renounced from all these things. Now externally also, he gave up all those things and fixed his concentration, his mind, completely at the feet of Lord Krishna. Hearing about Lord Krishna, remembering Lord Krishna. And further, Parikshit Maharaj is now inquiring from Shukadev Goswami. And what are his inquiries? Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring that because of your speech, my ignorance is destroyed. So I want to hear about Krishna more and more. Parikshit Maharaj was never in ignorance, but to give credit to Shukadev Goswami, he is saying, now my ignorance is destroyed. I have understood what I need to do in my last 7 days. Because in the beginning, we know, Shukadev Goswami described answering to Parikshit Maharaj's question. Parikshit Maharaj has asked the question, what is the duty of somebody who is about to die? And what is the duty of everybody in journal? What they should hear, what they should chant, what they should remember. And in answer to that, Shukdev Goswami described, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichita Bhayam. If somebody is desirous to become fearless, Ichita Abhayam, if somebody is desirous to become fearless, he should always hear about Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha. He should hear about, glorify about, and remember the Supreme Lord, Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I want to hear about Krishna more and more. Because Shukdev Goswami said, one should hear about Krishna. Right? So Shukdev Parikshit Maharaj is saying, okay, I want to hear more and more about Krishna. And what does Parikshit Maharaj want to hear? He is not directly jumping into, please narrate to me some wonderful, confidential pastimes of Krishna. I want to hear about the pastimes of Krishna when he was baby. I want to hear about the pastimes of Krishna, how he performed Rasleela with the gopis, how he killed various demons. So Parikshit Maharaj is not directly inquiring about all those wonderful pastimes of Krishna. What does he say? What do I want to hear? I want to hear about the creation of Lord Krishna. How does Lord Krishna create this whole cosmic manifestation? How does he maintain this whole cosmic manifestation, and how does he annihilate this whole cosmic manifestation at various times? So Parikshit Maharaj's question is very important here. He is saying, I want to hear about the various energies of Krishna. Through his various energies, how does he create, how does he maintain, and how does he annihilate? So Parikshit Maharaj already in one sense knows that Krishna is God and he is the creator of everything. He has no doubt, he is not asking who creates everything. He is saying, I know who is the creator, who is God. All I want to know is, how does he create? He is not asking who creates, how he creates. So first of all, that is a very important question. Most of the people in the world, they even don't know who is God, who created this whole cosmic manifestation, who has created this, how does this whole nature is working, under whose direction this nature is working. They even don't know who has created, how he has created, how this is functioning is even far away. So Shukdev Goswami is going to answer these questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Before we get into these answers, I just want to get into little detail of this topic. Maybe it may be a little sidetrack. So Parikshit Maharaj knows who has created. Parikshit Maharaj ko pata hai ki ye sab srishti kisne kiya hai. Is puri srishti ko rachne wala kaun hai, isko chalane wala kaun hai, aur isko ant mein khatam karne wala kaun hai. वो जिज्ञासा कर रहे हैं कि वो भगवान इस पूरी सृष्टि को कैसे बनाते हैं, कैसे चलाते हैं. पर इस संसार में बहुत सारे लोगों को तो पहले ये ही नहीं पता कि भगवान है कौन. लोग इतना ज्यादा अपना इच्छा तृप्ति में लगे हुए हैं, इन सेंस एंजॉयमेंट. उनको अगर कोई बोले कि अच्छा यहां से तुम्हारी इच्छा पूर्ति हो सकती है, तो वो किसी के भी पास जाने के लिए तैयार है. हम लोग जैसे बोलते हैं कि वैदिक धर्म, सनातन धर्म, वी नो देयर आर सो मेनी देवी देवता. सनातन धर्म के अंदर कितने सारे देवी देवताओं का वर्णन किया जाता है, 33 कोटि देवी देवता. एंड जो सब देवी देवता हैं, वो क्या हैं? वो भगवान के सहायक हैं इस सृष्टि को चलाने में. और अगर हम उनके साथ रेसिप्रोकेट करें, तो वो हमारी सब जरूरतें पूरी कर सकते हैं इस संसार में रहने के लिए. पर लोगों को अपने धर्म में, अपने संस्कृति के ऊपर कुछ विश्वास नहीं है, और वो हर जगह जाके अपना नाक रगड़ने के लिए, अपना माथा रगड़ने के लिए तैयार हो जाते हैं। जैसे कोई बताए कि अच्छा हमारे धर्म में, इस्लाम धर्म में ये पीर बाबा, ये पैगंबर बहुत पावरफुल हैं, इसकी मजार पर जाकर, उनकी समाधि पर जाकर कोई नाक रगड़े, कोई प्रार्थना करे तो उनकी सब इच्छाएं पूरी होंगी। एंड फुलिश पीपल हु आर कंप्लीटली अब्सॉर्ब्ड इन सेंस एंजॉयमेंट, जिनको सिर्फ इंद्र तृप्ति के सिवाय कुछ और आता ही नहीं है, कुछ और समझ में नहीं आता, वो हर जगह नाक रगड़ने के लिए तैयार हो जाते हैं। कितने सारे सनातन धर्मी लोग हैं, हिंदू धर्म का पालन करने वाले लोग हैं, जो अलग अलग पीर बाबाओं की कब्र पे जाकर, मजार पर जाकर दिया जलाएंगे, चादर चढ़ाएंगे। उनको लगता है कि यहां पर ये सब करने से हमारी मनोकामनाएं, हमारी इच्छाएं पूरी हो जाएंगी। और इस्लाम धर्म का भी एक्चुअली ये सब एक प्रोपेगेंडा था, सनातन धर्म को नीचा दिखाने के लिए, लोगों को अपने धर्म की ओर आकर्षित करने के लिए। तो उन्होंने भी ये सब चालें चली कि हर गांव गांव में कोई ना कोई अपने मौलाना की या कोई जो भी उनके धर्म का पालन करने वाले हैं उनकी कब्रें बनवा दी और उनको मजार का नाम दे दिया कि यहाँ पर इन पीर बाबा की समाधि है, ताकि लोगों को अपने धर्म से विमुख करके दूसरी ओर आकर्षित किया जा सके, उनको उनके धर्म से नीचे गिराया जा सके। तो उन्होंने जो किया वो किया, पर सनातन धर्म के जो लोग हैं उनकी भी बेवकूफी है, उनकी भी गलती है कि अपने धर्म को, अपनी संस्कृति को ना पहचान कर लोअर, जो लोअर स्टैंडर्ड्स हैं उनकी तरफ आकर्षित हो जाना। तो इसका मतलब ये हुआ कि हम भगवान के ऊपर, जो हमारे शास्त्रों में भगवान के बारे में बताया गया है, हमें उसके ऊपर विश्वास नहीं है और हम हर जगह जाके नाक रगड़ने के लिए तैयार हैं। सब घरों में, हर घरों में पीर बाबा की कुछ फोटो रखी होगी कि हर थर्सडे को घी का दिया जलाना है उनको खुश करने के लिए। तो हमारे संस्कृति में, हमारे धर्म में देवी देवताओं की कुछ कमी पड़ गई। अगर कुछ लोग जो कर्म कांडा का फॉलो भी कर रहे हैं अपनी इच्छा तृप्ति के लिए, तो हमारी संस्कृति में 33 कोटि देवी देवता होते हुए भी उनकी कुछ कमी पड़ गई कि जो उनको कहीं और बाहर जाके वहां पर नाक रगड़ना पड़ेगा। और एक्चुअली दूसरा प्रोपेगेंडा जो अलग अलग धर्मों का रहता है सनातन धर्म को नीचा दिखाने के लिए, दे टारगेट पुअर पीपल, जो गरीब लोग होते हैं, जो लोअर कैटेगरी, लोअर क्लासेस के लोग होते हैं, उनको टारगेट करते हैं, उनका ब्रेन वॉश करने की कोशिश करते हैं कि देखो तुम्हारे धर्म में तुम्हें सुविधाएं नहीं दी जाती, तुम्हें निम्न श्रेणी का समझा जाता है। तो दे विल टारगेट सच पीपल, दे विल टारगेट, तुम लोग दलित परिवार से आते हो, तुम लोगों को अपने धर्म में ही छूट नहीं है, तुम लोग मंदिर में नहीं जा सकते, तुम लोगों को कोई पूछता नहीं है। तो वो अलग अलग लोगों को डिवाइड करने की कोशिश करते हैं ताकि सनातन धर्म में एकता ना रहे। कुछ लोगों को बोल देंगे आप लोग दलित हैं, आप जाट हैं, आप ब्राह्मण हैं, आप क्षत्रिय हैं, आप शूद्र हैं। तो हर लोगों को अलग अलग चीजों में बांटने की कोशिश की जाती है और लोग भी पागलपन में आकर बोलने लगते हैं कि हाँ हम तो सिर्फ ये हैं, हमारा मंदिर में कोई वैल्यू नहीं है, हमें तो मंदिर में जाना भी अलाउड नहीं। देखा जाए कौन बोल रहा है, शास्त्रों में कहां लिखा है कि किसी भी व्यक्ति को मंदिर में जाना अलाउड नहीं है? हर कोई मंदिर जा सकता है, हर कोई भगवान का दर्शन कर सकता है, हर कोई भगवान को प्रार्थना कर सकता है। अगर किसी चीज की रिस्ट्रिक्शन है तो वो ये है कि हर कोई भगवान के अर्च विग्रह को स्पर्श नहीं कर सकता, और उसके पीछे भी एक रीजन है। हर किसी को अर्च विग्रह स्पर्श करने नहीं दिया जाता, सिर्फ जो ब्राह्मणज हैं, जो क्वालिफाइड पीपल हैं, उनको भगवान के अर्च विग्रह को स्पर्श करने दिया जाता है। पर कौन बोल रहा है कि आपको मंदिर आना अलाउड नहीं है, कि आप भगवान की पूजा नहीं कर सकते, आप भगवान को प्रार्थना नहीं कर सकते? और वैसे भी अगर देखा जाए तो हर कोई भगवान के अर्च विग्रह को क्यों छूना चाहता है, क्यों टच करना चाहता है? सिर्फ अपने आप को बताने के लिए कि मैं भी सबके बराबर हूं, अपने आप को इक्वल साबित करने के लिए, अपना घमंड दिखाने के लिए? मंदिर में जाना चाहिए ताकि हमारा घमंड खत्म हो सके, हमारी ईगो खत्म हो सके। पर अगर मंदिर में जाके भी हम अपना घमंड लेकर खड़े होना चाहते हैं कि मैं भी भगवान को छूना चाहता हूं, मैं भी अर्च विग्रह को छूना चाहता हूं, मैं किसी से कम कैसे हो सकता हूं? तो उदाहरण के लिए अगर समझिए कि अगर किसी कंट्री का प्राइम मिनिस्टर या प्रेसिडेंट कोई अपनी सभा में जा रहा है, किसी रैली में जा रहा है, तो वहां पर बहुत सारे लोग आ सकते हैं प्राइम मिनिस्टर को, प्रेसिडेंट को सुनने के लिए। सब कोई उनको देख सकता है, उनको सुन सकता है, सामने बैठ सकता है। पर ऐसा नहीं है कि हर कोई उनके साथ में, पास में जाकर फोटो खिंचवाने के लिए अलाउ किया जाएगा या उनको हाथ मिलाने के लिए अलाउ किया जाएगा। ही इज अ वेरी सुपीरियर पोजिशन, उनकी कुछ सिक्योरिटी है, उनका कुछ जो बहुत सारे उनके क्लोज के लोग हैं सिर्फ वो ही उनके आसपास रह सकते हैं, पर इसका मतलब ये नहीं है कि बाकी सब लोग उनको सुन नहीं सकते, देख नहीं सकते। वो उसी तरह से सब कोई भगवान के मंदिरों में जा सकता है, भगवान को प्रार्थना कर सकता है, नमस्कार कर सकता है, भगवान को अर्पण कर सकता है, प्रार्थना कर सकता है। तो पर अलग अलग धर्मों के लोगों का सनातन धर्म के ऊपर ये सब प्रहार रहता है, लोगों को बांटने के लिए, डिवाइड करने के लिए। तो पीपल नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड दीज ट्रिक्स, दे नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड रादर देन फॉलिंग डाउन फ्रॉम देयर स्टैंडर्ड टू इवन फर्दर फॉलिंग डाउन। अवर गोल इज टू मेक प्रोग्रेस, to rise from the level of karma kanda to the process of bhakti yoga, but here people are targeted to even fall down from the process of karma kanda to further glide down to take to the lower paths. And all these people who beat around the bush taking the name of secularism, they are also one-sided secularism. When it comes to some processes, some religious practices in Sanatan Dharma, then they will make a big fuss out of that. Oh, we are a secular country, we are a secular state, how can this particular thing be followed? But it comes to other religions doing their propaganda, their promotion, then nobody speak anything. That is one-sided secularism, and that have to end. If we really want to protect dharma, if we want to bring people to the higher standard, higher platform, then we have to remove this ignorance. We have to bring people to that level of understanding, to not fight among each other, rather than become aware about the tricks played by various demonic people. So one has to understand God. Who is God? How does He create? जैसे एक और उदाहरण से समझा जाए, if you want to understand with one more example, some people think that, okay, God does not exist. All this thing is working by itself. Material nature, जो प्रकृति है, अपने आप कार्य कर रही है, अपने आप चल रही है. उसको समझने के लिए अगर आप देखें कि अगर कोई, if there is one archer, an archer may shoot the arrow on some target which is maybe 100, 200 meter away. So he pulls up and shoots the arrow with full strength. Now the arrow goes and pierces into that target. So even though the arrow has hit the target, but whose credit is that in that? Is that the credit of the arrow which went with that speed and pierced the target? Or is it the credit goes to the archer? Somebody may say, oh, archer, he is just standing at his place. It is the arrow which went and pierced that object. But who gave the ability to the arrow to travel that far? Who gave the ability, who shot the arrow to perfect that target? So even though the arrow went, but the credit goes to the archer. The same way, even though this material nature is working under certain rules, certain laws, but who has put together all those rules and laws? Bhagwan भगवत गीता में बता रहे हैं, माया अध्यक्षेन प्रकृति, दिस मटेरियल नेचर इज अंडर माय कंट्रोल एंड इट इज वर्किंग अंडर माय डायरेक्शन। माया अध्यक्षेन प्रकृति सुहियते सचराचरम। सो द फर्स्ट थिंग टू अंडरस्टैंड हु इज गॉड एंड देन नेक्स्ट थिंग कम, हाउ डज गॉड क्रिएट एवरीथिंग, हाउ डज ही मेंटेन एवरीथिंग एंड हाउ डज ही एनहाइलेट एवरीथिंग। Because in current situation of this whole COVID-19, a lot of people are actually going away from spirituality, from dharma, thinking that, oh, why does God bringing this suffering in this material world? If God is in control, why is this all bad things happening in the world? And some people go to the extent of saying, see, what is the use of all these temples and everything? If people could have given the money which they were giving to temples, if they have given that money to build the hospitals, today we could save more people, more lives. But that's all nonsense idea. See, we can see even all these hospitals, they are not able to save people. How many resources they have? how many people they could save with all those technological advancements. Ultimately, everybody has to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, that you are our shelter, you are our source of pacification, you can save everybody. But people, who, when they don't even have the understanding why these things happen in this world, when something negative things happen, why does this happen? It is because of our own bad activities which we have performed, and material nature retaliates. Krishna, he has given all the opportunities for our enjoyment in this world. But if we are completely absorbed in enjoyment tendency, if we start thinking ourselves as the master of everything, then Krishna has given the provision to frustrate our whole enjoyment propensities also. And he frustrates to such degree that we can take shelter of Krishna, understand that this material world is temporary. It is full of miseries. Padam padam yada vipadam. So ultimately we should try to go beyond this material world and go to our real home, which is the kingdom of God, to live with him in harmony happily forever. So it's very important. That's why, to understand how does God create, how does he maintain, and how does he annihilate? Why does this annihilation happen? What is the purpose behind that? So Parikshit Maharaj is setting a very good example for us. He is not saying, I want to understand about Krishna's various wonderful activities only. Before understanding how Krishna deals with his Chitta Shakti, I want to understand how Krishna plays with his Maya Shakti. Bhagwan apni Chitta Shakti ke madhyam se, apni antaranga shakti ke madhyam se jo leelayein karte hain, usse pehle main ye samajhna chahta hoon ki Bhagwan apni Maya Shakti ke madhyam se kya leelayein karte hain. तो भगवान की रास लीला को समझने से पहले मैं भगवान की सृष्टि लीला को समझना चाहता हूं. तो परीक्षित महाराज इज सेटिंग अ वेरी गुड एग्जांपल, वेरी गुड मूड, एंड प्रभुपद राइट इन द पर्पट ऑफ दीज वर्सेस दैट वी शुड फॉलो इन द फुटस्टेप ऑफ परीक्षित महाराज रादर देन जंपिंग इनटू ऑल दोस कॉन्फिडेंशियल पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ कृष्णा. वी शुड सिस्टमैटिकली गो थ्रू द स्टडी ऑफ भागवतम, अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑल दीज वेरियस टॉपिक्स, सब्जेक्ट मैटर्स. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, even the great, great scholars put together, if they all come together also, still it is insufficient to understand the Supreme Lord. With all their material knowledge, material understanding, material calculation, material instruments, they cannot understand the creation of the Lord. It can be understood from the authorized sources only, from the Vedic scriptures only, through the agency of the bona fide spiritual master only. So kindly clear up all my doubtful inquiries, because you are not only very learned in the Vedic literature, and not only that you are self-realized in transcendence, but your quality is that you are expert in all these subject matters. Nishnath, the Parikshit Maharaj is addressing Shukadev Goswami with a very wonderful quality as Nishnath, expert. Expert in the knowledge of all the Vedic scripture. Expert in narrating that knowledge. Just having that knowledge is not enough. One should know how to communicate that knowledge, how to transfer that knowledge to others. As we have seen, there are many in our colleges and universities also, there may be very, very great professors, very learned professors who have double PhD and triple PhD, and they know thoroughly the subject matter. But sometimes when it comes to teach other students, teach other people about that subject matter, they are not effectively able to transfer that knowledge. So one should have both the abilities, both the qualifications, should have the knowledge also, and should have the ability to transfer that knowledge, to narrate that great knowledge to others. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, not only you are learned in the Vedic scriptures, but you are very expert in narrating all those knowledge. Nishnat. So the speaker has certain quality, and the audience, listener, Parikshit Maharaj, also has a very great quality. What is his quality? He is shushrubhi. He is very eager to hear. He is very, very much desirous to hear about the glories of the Lord, about the pastimes of the Lord. And when the qualities of the speaker and the qualities of the listener, when they combine together, all these great qualities, then there is a great outcome, which is the transfer of heart of everybody who is the speaker, who is the listener. As it's described in the scripture, three type of people get benefit from all these narrations. One who is speaking, he derives the benefit by speaking about the katha of the Supreme Lord. And the second one is who is listening all these pastimes. And the third one is who is asking questions. So everybody gets the benefit. But to get that benefit, the speaker has certain qualifications, certain qualities. The audience should have certain qualifications. So what are these qualities which the speaker and audience should have? Because we are hearing Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam, Ramayana, and all these other Vedic scriptures, they refer to some of these great qualities. What are the quality of the audience and the speaker to bring about the maximum benefit to everybody? So let's just do our own test check here, pathological test. So as you go to some lab, they do your blood test, and after doing the blood test, they will tell you all various things, how much of the blood count is there, or calcium, potassium, and other things are there, and if there is any problem in your report. So they do all that pathological test. The same way, we need to do our test here. Do we have those qualities as a speaker and audience, so that there is the real benefit of hearing Krishna Katha, hearing Ram Katha? As at the time of independence, some independence fighter, they used to have this statement, "Tum mujhe khoon do, main tumhe azadi dunga." You give me your blood, I will give you independence. So that used to be a statement. Un logon ka ye nara rehta tha. The same way, actually, outside one lab, it was written, "You give me blood, I will give you your report. Tum mujhe khoon do, main tumhari report dunga. What are the problems inside you?" The same way here, we need to hear these qualities. What are the qualities of the speaker and the audience? And do we have those qualities? Are we striving towards cultivating those qualities? It's okay to not have those qualities, but are we trying to cultivate those qualities? Because that should be the benefit. That should be the result of hearing Krishna Katha, that slowly, slowly, we should try to develop all those qualities. So right now, whatever we hear, maybe 5% stays. 90-95% just goes away. But we need to come to the level, whatever we hear so attentively that we can get the benefit of everything. So before we tell the qualities of the audience, let's talk about the qualities of the speaker. Because it's good to do our own first test. Do we have those qualities? Are we striving to develop those qualities, at least, if not? So the first quality of the speaker, it is described as nishtha, full faith in the Supreme Lord. And there are many speakers of Bhagavatam and Ramayana and all these various scriptures, Puranas. And if we hear all these great, great speakers, they have all these qualities and they are speaking from a very high platform. So we need to follow in their footsteps and develop those qualities. So for example, the speaker of Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami, he has full nishtha. What he has heard from Vyasadev, he has applied that in practice and got the result of that. One of the speaker of Ramayana, Lord Shiva himself, Lord Shiva is always speaking Bhagavatam and Ramayana. And he is speaking from a very high platform. not just materially high platform that he is sitting on top of Kailasha and speaking from there. Yes, that is also very high platform, but the high platform I am speaking about is Nishtha. He is speaking from a higher level of where he is filled with complete faith, that strong Nishtha. And what is his Nishtha? He has full faith in the Lord. Avashya Rakshibhe Krishna, Avashya Rakshibhe Ram. And with that faith, Lord Shiva is willing to drink the halahal poison also. During the churning of ocean, when the poison came out, nobody wanted to handle that poison and everybody approached Lord Shiva that you please take care of this poison. And Lord Shiva drank that poison. Somebody asked, were you not afraid of drinking that halahal poison? If it goes inside, it can destroy. And Lord Shiva said, I had full faith in my worshipable Lord. I am chanting the name of Ram, and when I am chanting the name of Ram, there is no fear. Bahar se aya vish aur andar se aya naam, Bhagwan ka naam, Ram. Jab Ram aur vish mile, to it was Vishram. I was completely at peace. And that is the level of Nishtha. The speaker should have full faith in the words of the Shastras, full faith in the Supreme Lord. It's not that the speaker is just speaking charismatically to attract the audience. He himself does not have faith in the words of the scriptures, in the words of the Supreme Lord. So the first quality of the speaker is to have that full faith in the Shastras and in the Supreme Lord. The second quality of the speaker is he should be like a Param Viveki. Param Viveki means he should be having full wisdom. One of the other great speakers of Bhagavatam and Ramayan. Bhagavatam speaker is, we know, Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya Rishi is speaking to Vidura. So Maitreya Rishi is considered as a great sage who is full Viveki, completely in wisdom. And same way, another speaker of Ramayana is Yajnavalak Rishi. Muni Parama Viveka. Yajnavalak Muni Parama Viveka. So he is Param Viveki. So what is the quality, this Param Viveki, full with wisdom, full in wisdom? It is like somebody being Paramahansa. There is Hansa and Paramahansa. Hamsa is who can differentiate water and milk from each other. And Paramahansa is somebody who is with a quality who does not see the fault of others. Hansa is something who knows the good and bad in others, and he has the ability to differentiate bad from good. And Paramahansa is somebody who does not even see the fault in others. He thinks that everybody is eligible to hear, everybody can come to the higher standard. No matter if it's a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahmana, Shudra, everybody has equal opportunity. Everybody is eligible to hear the glories of the Lord. So they don't differentiate between people. Who is from higher birth, who is from lower birth, who is more opulent, who is less opulent. Everybody has the opportunity to come to the platform of bhakti. It's not monopoly of one class of people. So Parama Viveki. So this Paramahansa, this Paramahansa word is used many times in Bhagavatam. Kunti Maharani, when she offers a prayer to the Supreme Lord Krishna, when he is about to go back to Dwarika from Hastinapur. So Kunti Maharani offers selected prayers to Lord Krishna. And she is telling, Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanartham Kampashyahi Istriyah. That you yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the heart of advanced transcendentalists. And what are these advanced transcendentalists? Paramahansanam, Muninam, Amalatmanam. The great, great sages who are Paramahansas. In their heart, you establish the science of Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. The great Munis, Paramahansas, who are free from mental speculation, who are purified enough, they don't even discriminate. They are actually, they are able to discriminate between matter and spirit. They don't discriminate between matter and matter. They think everything to be equal level. They consider everybody part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So such Paramahamsas, they are able to understand the spiritual science, the Bhakti Yoga. And then there is another verse in Bhagavatam, towards the conclusion of Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahansayanam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Paramahiyate. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is most dear to Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. So this science of spirituality, science of self-realization, can be understood by and explained by somebody who is at a level of Paramahamsas. So somebody having taken this seat of Vyasasana to speak to others should try to cultivate that quality of Paramahamsas, not differentiate between others or not discriminating between others, giving equal opportunity to everybody. It's not that we started discriminating, oh, this person, this type of people are allowed in satsang program, that type of people are not allowed, this class of people are allowed, that class of people are not allowed. Everybody has the opportunity to progress in bhakti. So the quality, first quality was nishtha, second quality parama viveki, the third quality of the speaker, Ram Bhakti Pata Parama Praveena, or Krishna Bhakti. So, the Bhakti Pata Parama Praveena, he must know the path of bhakti. If one himself doesn't know, how will he tell others? It's not about just making a show of engaged in bhakti. It is having that genuine bhakti in the heart, genuine love for the Supreme Lord in the heart, and being able to transfer that mood into others. Because the consciousness of the speaker matters a lot. Whatever is the consciousness of the speaker, that consciousness is transferred through the words of the speaker into the heart of the audience. It's not just the words which make effect on the audience. It is the consciousness of the speaker itself which makes effect. So he himself should know the process of bhakti, the path of bhakti. Otherwise, what is the scope of describing to others? If you tell others that, oh, you should chant the holy name, aapko 2 ghante bhagwan ka nam jap karna chahiye, 16 mala ka jap karna chahiye, but if somebody himself is not doing, his words will not be effective. If somebody himself is not able to wake up early in the morning, and he keep telling others, wake up early in the morning, chant the holy name in the morning, it will be useless. It will not make any effect into the heart of the audience. So Bhakti Pat Parama Praveena, the third, fourth quality, Sharanagati, having taken full shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mera aapki kripa se sab kaam ho raha hai. All my work is getting done because of you. It's not because of my own ability. It's not that I have the ability to speak. That's why I am able to convey the message of the Lord. It's not that I am a great speaker. It is because the Lord has given me the ability to speak. So full Sharanagati, the fifth quality of the speaker, Jaki Kripa Lavaleshate, thinking that it is because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, I am not the doer. So one having that mentality of very humble mood, showing that humility in his behavior. And that is one of the most important quality in the speaker itself, actually. Because if somebody starts thinking himself, I am a great scholar, I am a Bhagavata Acharya, I am a Ramayana Acharya, I can speak Bhagavat Katha, Ram Katha in such a nice, illustrious way, charismatic way, I can attract thousands and thousands of people. If somebody is filled with pride, that does not bring about the result of katha. Because the purpose of katha is to relieve people from their burden, to make people light. We all are having big burdens on our hearts right now. The burden of all these anarthas, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, fault finding. So all these anarthas, this burden is already there. And hearing katha, hearing Hari katha, Krishna katha, Ram katha, is to relieve that burden. So jab hum katha mein aate hain, to uska purpose hai ki wahan se halke hokar jayein. पर अगर जो वक्ता है कथा का वो खुद ही अपने आप को लाद कर बैठा है, खुद ही अपने ऊपर इतना बर्डन डालकर बैठा है, द बर्डन ऑफ प्राइड एंड एनवी टुवर्ड्स अदर्स, हाउ ही विल रिलीव द बर्डन ऑफ अदर्स? पीपल रेदर देन गेटिंग रिलीव फ्रॉम द बर्डन, दे विल बी फिल्ड विद मोर बर्डन. इफ समबडी इज फिल्ड विद दिस मेंटेलिटी ऑफ प्राइड, दैट्स व्हाट ही इज गोइंग टू ट्रांसफर इन द ऑडियंस. If somebody is filled with this tendency of competition mentality, this envious mentality, that's what he is going to fill up in the audience. So that's why the one of the very important quality of the speaker is having the humble mood, not thinking I am everything, I am all in all, who can be greater than me, but taking a very humble mood. The seniority of the person, this, it's not some people start thinking who is senior in the process, who is more advanced in the process, and their measurement of seniority is by external parameters. How? Most people will consider age as the deciding criteria. Who is more senior, who is more advanced? Oh, this person is more aged, he is senior. Oh, this person is shaven head. Unhone apna sir mundwa rakha hai. He is shaven head. He is more senior. That is not the criteria. Otherwise, how come Shukdev Goswami was eligible to speak in the assembly of all these great, great sages who are much more advanced in age in comparison to Shukdev Goswami? Shukdev Goswami is mere a boy of 16 year old, and there are great, great sages who are thousands and thousands of year old and mature in the science. So one should not go with these external parameters and should not start judging other people. But the quality of the speaker is, he should show the mood of humility. So these are the five qualities which we spoke about, the qualities of speaker. And now let's see what are the qualities of the audience. Because we need to do our own test. Are we having those qualities? Are we trying to develop those qualities so we can get the maximum out of this satsang program, maximum out of this katha? So what are the qualities of the audience? First quality, Shraddha. We discussed this in the first session of Bhagavatam when we were discussing Mahatmya, Bhagavat Mahatmya. In that we discuss the quality of speaker is Nishtha, fixed Vishwas, and the quality of the audience is Shraddha, having at least the beginning level of faith in the speaker itself, in the Katha, in the Shastras. So he should have that Shraddha. And this also means Sumati. Sumati means one is having a good intelligence. The listener should not be in an argument mode always. So, jo shrota hai katha ka, unko kutarki nahi hona chahiye. He should not be always in the mood of judging mentality or analyzing mentality or just trying to test the speaker, putting his own arguments and logic. Even though somebody may not be Sumati, but he should not be Kumati. Because if somebody is always using the arguments, he cannot understand anything. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes that with a humble mood, one should approach the spiritual master, render service to the spiritual master, and hear from him submissively. So one should be Sumati. Sometimes people are sitting in katha, sitting in class, but all the time they are doing the analysis. Oh, this person is speaking like this. He doesn't know how to speak properly. He cannot sing nicely. That other speaker, he is a better speaker. Rather than listening to him, if people get an opportunity to listen to that person, maybe they can understand better. Maybe they can progress better. So rather than paying any attention to what is going on in katha, relishing that katha or understanding, is always in the analyzing mode. So one should be having sumati, not kumati. And what is the result of having sumati? If somebody with sumati, good intelligence, hearing Krishna katha, what will be the result of that? Jaha sumati taha sampatti nana. Jaha kumati taha vipatti nidhana. This is one chapai, one phrase from Ramayana. It says, jaha sumati taha sampatti nana. Wherever there is sumati, there will be opulence. So when we are sitting in Krishna katha with sumati, the result of that is sampatti nana. So one should not misunderstand here that by hearing Krishna katha, Ram katha, one get material opulences. Because most of people are having that mentality, karmakandic mentality. People organize katha also with this karmakandic mentality to do some pious activity. And the speaker is also speaking katha as a karmakanda ritualistic activity. That by speaking this katha, I will get this dakshina, I will maintain my family. So here, sampatti nana doesn't mean material benefit. Somebody should not start thinking by hearing Ram katha, Krishna katha, Bhagavat katha, I will solve the problems in my life. I will get a big house, big bank balance, big property. Mujhe gaadi, bangla, makan, plot mil jayega. That is not the sampatti which is described here. What is the sampatti which one gets out of katha? That sampatti is good manners, good qualities. Freedom from all the anarthas in the heart. So, jahan sampatti tahan, jahan sumati tahan sampatti nana. Jahan kumati tahan vipatti nidhana. But when somebody is having kumati, bad intelligence, bad argument mentality, vipatti nidhana, he puts himself in more and more trouble. He doesn't get any benefit out of katha. And how does one get sumati? So to develop this sumati, to hear Krishna katha, how does one get sumati? Sumati is not the result of one's own endeavor. It is the result of mercy, kripa. Janak suta jag janani janaki. Right? We recite that prayer that I pay obeisances to Mother Sita because she can give me the good intelligence. The sumati, good intelligence, is always because of mercy. It is not by our endeavor that by reading some material books and novels and all these university books, we will get this intelligence. This is always because of the mercy of the Lord. So first quality of the audience is having that little shraddha in the heart and the sumati. The second quality, sushila, having good manners. And what are the manners we are talking about here? That when we come to katha, one should compose himself in some proper manner ways. Like sometime when the katha is going on, class is going on, some people have the tendency to come late, right? They will just walk in late, whatever time they feel like. But sometimes the mentality is, oh, I want to cross everybody and go sit in the front. So they will be stepping over other people to get to the front. They will be touching maybe other people with their feet. In our programs where it's a small crowd, 20, 30, 40 people, maybe it's not that problem. But in big programs, sometimes we see this thing very common. Some people having so much of pride in the heart, they think we are VIPs. And we have to go sit in the front. where the speaker can see us, that we are sitting here, because we are very special. So that is a bad manner. If you have come late, just sit in the back. Why to disturb everybody else also? And same thing applies in sometime conference call also. We sometimes have virtual program, right, where we are having discussion, discourse on through a conference call, and people may join in the conference call, and sometimes people just want to keep unmuting themselves, and some background noise is going on which can disturb others also. So having those common manners to hear katha attentively and let others also hear attentively without causing any disturbance to others, not considering ourselves as somebody VIP. So third quality of the audience, shuchi, purification. So purification externally as well as internally. So we should try to purify ourselves internally, and that method of purification is chanting the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by taking to this process of Shravanam Kirtanam, one can purify himself internally. When we come to Krishna Katha, that is the message we should take. After getting that message, we should apply also. Not that, okay, we have taken the message, put it in the closet, lock it, and that's it. We have to put it in practice. That is what is going to give us purification. So internal purification is important. So slowly, slowly, all those anarthas are going away. And this Krishna Katha can go deep in our heart to bring the effect. But in addition to that internal cleanliness, we should have external cleanliness also. Aisa nahi hai ki we came to satsang program and somebody is stinking bad, and all the people who are sitting close by next, they are troubled by that bad smell. Somebody has done some hard labor, hard work, maybe in their lawn, in their garden or something, and they were sweating and they just came like that in the program, and now everybody is troubled with that. So we should have internal cleanliness as well as external cleanliness also. Shuchi. And then katha rasik, the fourth quality. One should have attraction towards hearing katha of the Lord. Aisa nahi hai ki formality ke liye aake baith gaye. Oh, somebody is always keep asking me, come to the program, come to the program. So I am just coming as sort of formality. Aa gaya hu, 5 minute baithunga, chala jaunga. One should have attraction for hearing Harikatha. If we don't have that, at least we should try to develop that attraction. And how that attraction will develop? By keep hearing, keep chanting the name of the Lord. That taste for hearing will come more and more. So Katha Rasik, one should be having great attraction towards hearing Katha. Again, one should not hear with the analyzing mentality. The fifth quality, Haridas. One should hear Harikatha with a servant mood, not with a master mood. Oh, unka kaam hai hame katha sunana. To humne unko unka mihantana, unka dakshina de diya. So that we have given them their due result of their labor. One should hear Harikatha with the mood of as a servant of everybody, servant of all the devotees, not with the master of everybody, that everybody should serve me. But I should try to serve everybody to whatever little capacity I can do. It applies to both listener and speaker. Haridas. One should not start thinking, oh, I am a great person, so everything should be all set. I will go sit in a nice big asana and then everybody should pay me respect, offer me some nice garland. So the speaker also should not have that mood. As we discussed, one of the qualities of speaker is mood of humility. And same way the listener, the audience, should have that mood of service. Not that if we go, everything should be all ready for us. We should have some nice seat given, nice chair given for us to sit comfortably. If there is no such arrangement for us, we cannot come to the program. We cannot attend program. So one should be having the servant mood, servant mentality. Haridas, the sixth quality of the audience. One should have attraction, love towards the Supreme Lord. जिन्हिना प्रिय रघुनाथ, तो जिनकी भगवान के प्रति प्रीति नहीं है, जिनको भगवान के प्रति कुछ आकर्षण नहीं है, उनको कथा में से कुछ ज्यादा रिजल्ट नहीं मिलेगा. बिकॉज इफ वी डोंट हैव अट्रैक्शन टुवर्ड्स द लॉर्ड, इफ वी डोंट हैव अट्रैक्शन टुवर्ड्स द वर्ड्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड, दिस कथा विल नॉट मेक एनी इफेक्ट टू अवर हार्ट. इट विल नॉट प्यूरिफाई दैट. सो वेन वी कम टू कथा, वी शुड हैव दैट भाव टुवर्ड्स द लॉर्ड, हैव दैट मूड ऑफ सरेंडर मेंटेलिटी एंड हियर कथा इन दैट मूड. So these are the six qualities of the audience. And when we combine these qualities of the audience and the speaker, jab shrota aur vakta ki qualities milti hain, then it brings the maximum result. Then there is change in the heart. Otherwise it just becomes like a ritualistic activity. Barish to bahut ho rahi hai, but not everybody, nobody is getting wet in that rain. The same way, so many kathas may be going on, so many satsang programs may be going on, but it does not bringing that result out. So now after hearing all that, one should not start thinking that, okay, it's the fault in the speaker, that's why we are not getting the benefit. And the speaker should not start thinking it's the fault in the audience, that's why they are not getting the benefit. Somewhere, maybe the fault lies on both sides. So we should try to cultivate all these qualities in the speaker as well as the audience, so we can develop that nice mood of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam of the Supreme Lord. So after speaking all that, so why I mentioned all these qualities? Because we were speaking about Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami is the best speaker, is the most eligible speaker to speak on the subject matter of Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj is a very eligible audience to hear this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam is coming out for the benefit of the entire humanity. So after Parikshit Maharaj posed these questions, that please speak to me. I want to hear how Lord creates, maintains and annihilates. And Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami is not going to start answering those questions. And before he answers these questions, Shukadev Goswami starts with glorification of the Supreme Lord. So he is glorifying the Supreme Lord. He is kind of asking permissions from the Supreme Lord to speak about his pastimes. And he is seeking empowerment from the Supreme Lord. Please give me the ability to speak so I can narrate all these subject matters. It's like in the beginning of satsang program, before started speaking on any topic, we recite invocation prayers. So these invocation prayers are like we are approaching the Supreme Lord, asking permissions from the Supreme Lord to speak, to give us the ability to speak, to give us the empowerment to speak about his glories. So Shukadev Goswami is now going to glorify the Supreme Lord. A set of verses, very beautiful verses, where he glorifies the Supreme Lord. And we will hear about those glorification prayers of Shukadev Goswami in the next session. Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. So thank you very much. Please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong, if I spoke something too hard. That was not the intention. We are doing our own test to see if there is a result coming out after all these Shravanam and Kirtanam. So thank you. If anybody has any comments, any questions,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dharma Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Very, very nice class, Prabhuji. Beautiful class. Don't have any questions at this point of time. Thank you. Wonderful.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dharma Pranam. Another awesome class. I mean, sometimes I wonder, where do you get all these examples from? How are you able to link all these things together? I mean, too good, Prabhu. Thank you very much for sharing this.
Thank you for your kind words. It is mercy of Guru Maharaj, mercy of Krishna, that we are able to put into practice some of these, what we keep hearing, keep reading. So how to link these things together is definitely mercy of Guru and Krishna. They empower us within the heart. Power us within the heart.
Very true, Prabhu. Very true. Very true, Prabhu. Very true. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
So, any question or comment, or we will end here otherwise? Any question on Facebook? Any comments? Okay. So, Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Vrindanath Prabhu ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for joining, everyone.